This morning we're going back into our teaching again, above all things. I was down with Randall Greer this week and teaching over here and really emphasizing the areas of faith and healing. It's one thing as we had in the meetings here, is one of the things is really is, and I just got a confirmation, we're hitting on the right areas, dealing with the areas of prosperity, dealing with the areas of faith and healing, that is the emphasis of God for 2017. Because it must come back to the church. One of the things that others have prophesied this who have gone home to be with the Lord, but Kenneth Hagin, I know for sure, did, prophesied about the last day move of God. Kenneth Hagin was in the healing revivals of the 1950s here in America. And he was associated with a lot of the really big healing ministries and stuff and the miracles and things that go on. And I was born at that time, too, and in there. And I know just from the church world, the stuff, the things that I saw as a kid and things that happened during those time periods because of the move of God that took place during those times. And even since that, when I got in the 1980s, I saw all kind of different things happen and take place and things go on. But Kenneth Hagin prophesied and said there was a healing revival that's going to come before Jesus comes back. And he said it's going to be so much greater than any healing revival that any has ever been on the face of the earth. And he said it's going to be just as if healing is in the atmosphere and that stuff. And he said healing is just going to take the forefront. And you'll understand this. That was Jesus' ministry. Healing was the forefront of Jesus' ministry. One of the greatest problems that we've had in the church world is the majority of the church world doesn't believe in healing. Oh, they'll say things about it. But they don't. It's never in the forefront of any kind of ministry. Most of the church world, healing's in some back room thing hidden, and where once in a while, and they'll say somebody, well, you need any prayer requests? And well, yes, so and so sick. Well, we'll take a prayer request for healing. And you find, do you believe God will heal him? Well, we don't know. He may or he may not. Sometimes he does, and most of the time he don't. Most of them believe hugely, in fact, that God makes people sick. There's no scriptural basis or foundation for it. It's founded upon the religions of men. Jesus Christ came and did the will of God, and he never at one time told anybody that God wanted them sick. He never said that one time. And you need to get that within yourself as the fact, because all this stuff is bombarded and down through, and God wants to move in a healing revival. He's going to have to get people to cooperate with it. See, I was born and raised in a churches, and they really didn't cooperate with healing. Yet around them, healing was going on during their healing revivals, but they didn't have much anything happen in their churches. But yet it was going on. The ones who believed that God wanted people well were having healings, but they weren't. And see, and then they would say things like this, well, if God wants the healing in our churches, he would put it here if he wants it here. Well, God don't put something there just because he wants it. He wants everybody to be saved, and everybody ain't saved. So if God wants it, and see, we got to get past all this foolish Christianity that's taught, all this foolishness, and come back to the Word of God. Now, the Lord spoke to me and gave me, when I started this series, on which is called Above All Things, and it comes from 3 John, the 2nd chapter, and the Lord really in a supernatural way spoke to me one morning and quoted this scripture from the King James, and said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, in King James, it says, "I wish above all things." Actually, that statement there would be, Strong's Concordance even says that it would be like, "I pray to God above all things." Above all things, I pray to God above all things that you'd prosper and you'd be in health. So in other words, the Apostle John wrote this to Gaius and told Gaius that God, above everything, God wanted him to prosper and he wanted him to be in health. That's the purpose of God. We can look back and find it from the standpoint of, we went back to the beginning of creation when God created man in the garden and put man in the garden. He wanted man to prosper. He even told man where the gold and the silver and all that stuff was. He told him straight out where it was at. God's desire was for man to prosper. Sin led man into poverty and everything else. But it wasn't God. God didn't lead man into that. Man did that when man changed his allegiance from God to Satan and followed after Satan. So we've been teaching along these lines, but God has a plan and purpose and we need to follow them. And one of the things that we have, and we've been following, I did some teaching on the area of prosperity, and I went over to the areas of healing, and eventually there too, there's some other things I'm going to go back over into prosperity and talk about again. So there's some things. But today I want to look in areas, we're focused in the areas of healing, because it's one of the things that the Lord had spoken to me some years ago, that the incidences in the Gospels where you have individuals specifically healed, individuals, those things give revelation of how God works in healing. Those things were put, now just think about these. Out of all the things that were put down in the Scriptures, we have individual ones that we have that I believe that God through the years preserved in Scripture for us to study, to look at. And if we follow the principles that are shown in these things, they give us the revelation of how we get healed, how we walk in health, what God's plan is. And we find out, is understanding what faith is. We talked about in the beginning about faith, about what faith is. And we find in the use of faith, many people say, well, they have faith. But, you know, faith is not some, we use it today in this general terminology of things. Just sort of we throw this overall verse thing out there and say, well, we, faith. And we like it to cover every aspect of things about God. I don't know that I have faith about everything about God because I don't know everything about God. So I couldn't have faith on everything about God. I don't even know it all. And if you know it all, raise your hands. We'll have an altar call for a liar. We'll get you saved. And nobody knows it all. Now, there's certain things that I know how God operates and how He works, and I know how to walk by faith in it. There's some things I can walk in better than I can other things. There's some things my faith is not developed. You know, it's just that I'm not at the place to believe in God for you know, a jet. You know, jets don't just cost a lot of money. Jets cost a lot of money to run. Do you know these jets these guys get? Do you know the yearly inspection on some of them? The inspection itself is $300,000. A year, just now, that's not fixing any problems. That's what the government requires them to have, an inspection. And in that inspection, whatever problems are found in that inspection, it is nothing for somebody to pay out $1 million or more during the inspection period. This isn't nickel and dime stuff. But then on the other hand, now some people say, well, what does a minister need with a jet? Well, let me tell you what, if you're going to go out there and you have to do a lot of traveling and you're going to go commercial airline, you ain't going to do a lot of traveling. You're going to be spending your life in airports and canceled flights and everything else under the sun. Randall Greer, the Lord even told him, he said, you need to get a plane because, and this he told him back years ago, you need to get a license and get a plane because he said, things are going to get bad when it comes to flying and you ain't going to be able to go out and just travel like you'd like to. And he said, if you don't have your own plane, you ain't going to be able to go. And it's exactly right. I know, I mean, if I can drive with any place within 10 hours, I won't fly there because I'll spend more time in airports and everything else and going through stuff trying to get there. I just get in my car and drive. Man, years ago, I flew every place. I mean, my words, it was 3 hours away, I'd fly. Not today. If it's 3 hours away, you'll spend 20 hours to get that three-hour flight. It's just like, dear God, forget it. You know, you don't have all the straight-through flights anymore. You don't have any of that stuff going on, and you have all this waiting around and all this kind of stuff. Always something going on out there. And I can understand why these ministers, I mean, my words, if you've got all the traveling you got to do, you have to have reliable vehicles, and you can't go out here in your Piper Cub, and you don't want to fly across the country in your Piper Cub, take you 3 or 4 days to get there. You can drive it as fast as your car. So, people need things. But we're looking there. We're going to look at these principles, you know, here in this area of health and healing. I want today, we're going to look over in Luke, the 5th chapter, because there's some revelations that God gives here in an instance that took place that Jesus and healing going on. Now, we found this out in looking, and I looked at a number of these ones, and we looked at the things where Jesus told people their faith made them whole. Their faith healed them. So when people say God don't heal today, I have a real problem with that because Jesus talked about people, He said their faith did it. Their faith. And we need to understand this, and we're going to look at this about the power of God. In Luke, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, I want you to see something that's said here in verse 17 starting. It says, now it happened on the certain day as He was teaching it said there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. So he's teaching. Now, he mentioned specifically, he said, Pharisees, teachers of the law sitting by, who came out from every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. So this wasn't a small number of Pharisees and teachers of the law, and they'd come from all these different places. They have come. And it says, now look what it says. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It said the power of the Lord was present to heal who? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And we're going to find this out. It was present to do it, but not one of them got healed. See, we got to get past the fallacies that are taught in the church. If the power of God's there, then therefore it's just going to work. No, it's not. You know, if we look back through here and we follow back through here in the front, we have receptacles. There's receptacles all back through the walls and all back through here. Do you know, I walked in here today and no electricity jumped out of there and jumped on me at all. None of it did. It's present. Electricity was present in this place. You know, if we didn't have, like, say, overhead lights you turn on, and you had to come in here and plug a light in and turn it on, if you didn't plug it in, there would have been no electricity. Even electricity's in the building. The power is here. But it requires you to do something. And you need to understand this. When we deal with God, there's always a manward side and a Godward side. The majority church teaches basically all God, which is totally wrong. It's not all God. It's man and God. The Bible says we're workers together with Him. We have a part to play. Now, number one, I don't have the healing. I don't have healing power per se. I mean, I'm not the generator of healing power, although God works through me and through the power of God, but it must be connected to by faith. In other words, there's a part that I play, and when you yourselves, you have a part that you play. God will never do your part. He will never do your part. And this is where the church has been wrong. They've been all, well, we're just waiting for God to do this, or we're waiting for God to do that. Well, hold it. Have you done your part? Many times people haven't done their part. We have here, the power of God is present to heal. Kenneth E. Hagin, I hadn't heard it. The Lord had spoke to me when I first got born again. And he said to me, the power of God, he said, my power is always present to heal. He said, when you minister to people, he said, the power of God is always there. He said, people just don't respond to it sometimes. He said, whenever you lay hands on a person, he said, I'm present to heal that individual. They may not respond to it. Well, that was new to me. I was just a young Christian, never heard anybody teach on it. And then Kenneth Hagin talked about where Jesus visited, talked to him and said to him, my power is always present to heal. Well, then when I turned around and started reading the Bible, now look, we read about the woman with the issue of blood. Was the power of God present to heal? Yeah. It was there the whole time. Yet all people, nobody around her, nobody else got healed. She was the only one. Why? Because she was the only one that plugged in. She plugged in. Faith is the plug-in that you hook up with to the things of God. She believed and said if she could touch the hem of her garment, he'd be healed. All the rest of them wanted healed, but they never used no faith. They were just wanting to see if God would do it for them. They weren't believing or said a thing. It's just like the receptacles on the walls. If we don't plug into it, no matter how much power's there, now, you don't want so much power it just jumps out of the wall and gets you. you can have so much power. We had equipment when I was in the service. I was in the microwave systems technician field. And we in some of our huge transmitters and that stuff, I mean, everything around was insulated, and it had to be the floors and everything because there was so much power. And when you walk in the room, you could feel it. I mean, you could feel it in the air. You could feel it through your body. And you didn't want anything grounded. You want everything insulated because if it wasn't, it would jump on you. Because there was so much power in those things. So you can also do that. I mean, you can take a high voltage wire, and if you're grounded well and you get too close, you can have an arc jump across and get on you. You don't want that to happen. We need to understand that we're walking around in this earth, and God, see, people say, and every Christian will say, well, God's here, you know, and God's always present. God's everywhere. Well, how could God be everywhere and His power to heal not be everywhere? God's here, but He left healing at home. You know, it's in a bucket sitting by the door, and he left it there, and it ain't long. And see, when people get their thinking like that, then what they have is they get in a service, and what they want to have is some kind of an emotional feeling and something like that's going to determine whether or not God, you know, things are really going good, things seem well, whether the power of God's present to do something. Now we know this: the power of God is present to heal these people. Must not have been any feeling, because nobody got nothing. They didn't get anything. They're sitting there. We're going to read the story of what happened. Here again, one person gets healed and the rest of them don't. One person. Now, why would the power of God be present to heal them if none of them was sick? Power of God's present to heal. Why would that be mentioned if they're all just so well? Hallelujah. See, this is the most wonderful thing that you can know. The power of God is always present to be healed. You don't have to wait to come to church. The power of God's always present to heal. Now, it's good. We get together and agree with each other. That's one of the powerful things we have as Christians is the prayer of agreement. It's absolutely. The Bible says, and it doesn't say under any other kind of prayer, it says concerning agreement, the two agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done. What a statement. It's phenomenal. You know, you'd have to be, you know, now religion will sit down and try to build, you know, walls around that thing somewhere. Say, well, you can't go too far to this, you can't do that, can't do. They'll try to do that. You know, it's like God gave the law and what man could do, and that stuff gave Moses his laws, and the Jews turned around and made 20,000 laws, tried to explain to everybody what the law was trying to say. You know, sounds like Congress. We got the Constitution, and I read it. It's so simple, yet to be stupid not to be able to figure it out. And that's, so we got all these stupid guys trying to tell us what it means and what we got to do to walk in it, you know. And a guy got to go to school how many years to be a judge so he can tell us how this thing works when I read it and know more about it than he does. They go to law school long enough to become idiots, be able to pervert the law. But making all these rules and all this stuff, you know, don't do that to the Bible. The Bible's so simple. And religion keeps taking and adding to it and taking away from it. And you don't want to take away from it. So we find that the power of God is present to heal. God wants to heal the Pharisee. He wants to heal the teachers. His desires do that. Verse 18 says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. So they're carrying a guy in a bed, so like in a stretcher, however it is that they, whatever they were using to carry him. And they're carrying the man in, he's paralyzed. It says, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. So in other words, they went up. Mark talks about this instance. They went up and tore the roof out. Now I want you to see about this. Now here's people doing something. Now, and this is one of the things that you need to understand is in the operations of faith. I've seen people, you know, do this kind. These guys come along. They know this, the power of God's present. Now they believe that they can get him to Jesus. If they can get him to him, that this man will be healed. They had to believe he's going to be healed because of what they did. They literally believed it. They came and they were unable with the crowds. They couldn't get the guy in the door. It didn't seem that the people were saying, oh yeah, go let him go through and go with that guy. No, they were all there. Nobody's letting him in. So what do? They go up on the roof and they tear the roof off. Whew. Anybody ever come to a church and tear the roof off trying to get in there? But this is what they did. But you need to understand this. You need to get a hold of this. This is the reason why this guy is going to get healed. They didn't just sit around, yeah, if we could just get to Jesus and, you know, boy, he could be healed. But the crowd's just too much. Oh, well, we tried. We tried. We're going to go home. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I could go over here and so-and-so prays for the sick, but oh, I'm tired when I get home from work, and I just have all this stuff that I got to do, and I just, you know, and I just have this things, and yeah, I know, but it's 2-hour drive, and I just can't, you know, that's why a lot of people, it doesn't work, because their actions kill their faith. You got to go and plug in where you can plug in at to get what you want. And if you don't, see, there's a receptacle inside that house that they're going to hook up with. And these guys are not going to stop. They're not going to stop to go to the point to take the roof off the house. What if somebody came to your house and took the roof because somebody wanted healed or somebody wanted blessed? I mean, my words. I know lots of times ministries wouldn't any kind of disruption of any sort, of anything. How it is, of somebody coming. You know, Jesus, and if you follow his ministry, it didn't throw him at all while he was in doing his thing and somebody had come along and want something. He would stop, see that they got it, and went back over doing it. No, not today. We just got to have our little organizations and how we rule and how we do our things and don't disrupt. You know, we have our, you know, you can't, well, we can't do this at a certain time. A certain time we can have this, you know, and we could do that. But you can't do this here and you can't do that. This guy's come along and they go up on the roof and they tear the roof off. Now, can you imagine just people sitting down below? Oh, I could hear people complaining. Now, you ain't going to take the roof stuff off in one of those homes in those days, those tilings that they put down. There's going to be dirt falling on people down there. There's going to be stuff happening, you know? And they're up there taking the roof off. And they're taking enough out that the guy who's laid out on a thing, you know, can be dropped down through the roof. So, you know, this isn't a nice little square hole you look down through and stand a guard, sliding down. That's not what they're doing. But number one, see, their faith. This is their faith in action. Now, we want to see something because Jesus says something here. There's a revelation we have here. We have the revelation that God's power is present to heal. That because his power is present to heal doesn't mean anybody's going to get healed. Doesn't mean a thing. But we have here, and this gentleman, it says they, when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop, lifted him down with his bed because the tiling in through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. Now look what it says about Jesus. Verse 20. When he saw their faith, it says, he saw their faith. He saw it. Well, what did he see? He saw them tear the roof off. He saw what these, this was faith in action. This was faith can be seen. We need to understand this about faith. Faith, the Bible talks about faith that can be heard, faith that can be seen. Things that people do that prove that they have faith. See, the person that says, yeah, I know I can get out there and heal, but I'll tell you, that's a long way too far to drive or to do this or to do that. I can tell, but what they said, they ain't got no faith to be. People talk about faith, but faith is more than just these nice little words, and I believe something, but what's a person's action if a person believes? You got to believe you do something and it works. And then you're going to go to set yourself to do that. These guys believed they needed to come into the presence of Jesus for that man to be healed. That's what they believed. And so what they do, they took the guy and they brought him to him. They didn't let anything stand in the way. It was sort of like the woman with the issue of blood. She had to push through the crowd. In fact, by the law, she with a flow of blood, she shouldn't even been in the crowd. She's out there and pushed herself through the crowd. She's pushing herself through the crowd, touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and she's healed. And Jesus says, your faith made you whole. He didn't say, I healed you. See, it don't matter much how the power of God was in him. If she hadn't had faith, it wouldn't have worked. Her faith. He said, your faith did this. In other words, you plugged into that plug in the wall. You got what you got because you plugged into it. Didn't matter how much power was there. It wasn't, nothing happened till she plugged in, and her faith was the plug that plugged into it. And it's just the same way here. These guys are going to plug in. They're going to do something to plug in. Since Jesus saw, he says, when he saw their faith, he said, now listen to this. Isn't this interesting? Because you want to see. Here again, Jesus is going to have a teaching moment, and he's going to give a revelation that most of the church knows nothing about. Yet it's been written in the Bible, but people just read through their nice little religious readings, and they go through their stuff, and they don't really examine what is being said here in these things. I taught this things in healings for I think it was 6 years in a Bible school. And over a six-year period, And reading through this thing, I'd have students read this story out of Luke, and I'd have them read this, and then I would put out a thing and answer for them to answer questions about it. I'd have them, I'd give them the papers and tell them to go home and read it in next class. They come back, we're going to talk about it. And I bet out of 6 years, probably maybe two or three students ever saw what the Bible actually says, because everybody's just filled with their own knowledge and thinking. And when they read the Bible, they read it according to what they were told and what they thought, rather than what it says. And people just go on and just read it. And they don't stop and say, what do these words say? What are they saying? Now, here we go. Jesus says this to a guy. He sees a guy, he says, your sins are forgiven you. Now, this is a teaching moment that God's going to do, but this teaching moment is going to lead to something about healing that if you get to understand and know, it will change you in your faith for healing. Thank God that I'm glad that Jesus did this and then put this account in here for us to see it. Because he said, your sins are forgiven him. And verse 21 said, then the scribes, that's where the guys who were the teachers, they're scribes. These guys, what the teachers were, the Pharisees and the teachers, the scribes were the guys who were they called the lawyers of the law. They explained, you know, they're the guys today. It's like when you go and today, if you took our laws, you do have to have somebody explain it to you because you couldn't sit down and read them. I mean, my words, just to sit down and look on a moving violation, all that's written down law-wise and all that. I mean, everything's such nonsense. And so these are the lawyers. So these guys are sitting there. It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Now, they began to reason saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, listen to this. Jesus, he says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he perceived what was going on. And he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Why are you guys reasoning in your hearts? Why are you doing this? Now, he asks a question. Now, he's going to ask something. He asks this question. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? He said, which is the easier to do? Which is the easier to do? Verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. The guy immediately says he rose. But what I want you to see is this, is what he said here. He asked them the question, basically, what's easier to do, get your sins forgiven or get healed? Which is the easiest? 99.9% of Christians, well, get your sins forgiven. Jesus didn't say it. Jesus said, I'm going to prove to you. He said, this is the proof I have power to forgive sin. I heal. Healing is the proof. That's why you'll find, it's just back in the healing revivals of the 1950s, the ministers back in those days, especially that operated a lot in the healing ministries, they used to use the term that healing was the dinner bell that God would ring. Brother Hagin used to do that. Brother Hagin used to say the dinner bell was what God would ring to get people. Jesus rang the dinner bell of healing. You look at Jesus' ministry, he did more healing than he did anything else. That was the dinner bell to get people's attention. It's the proof. God uses healing as a proof of his goodness, his mercy, and willingness to forgive sins of people. You go to any place where, you know, there's just mostly sinners and you have an evangelist go there, a healing evangelist. There's numbers of guys that I know that are healing evangelists and different things that they go, like they go overseas. Christopher Lam, he goes overseas. He goes into areas and that stuff will just be pagan areas and that stuff. He'll hold meetings and God will heal people by the tens of thousands. The lames will get up and walk. He'll go out there, the blind see, people who are demon possessed get set free and all that stuff. What is it? That's God ringing the dinner bell. Why? For the salvation of those people, to let them know that he'll love them. He'll forgive their sin. Most people don't know God really likes them. They're told God's supposed to make you sick. You become a Christian, God's still trying to make you sick and kill you. That's what they're told. They're told this nonsense. But Jesus said, what's the easiest to do? Get your sins forgiven or get healed? He said, I'm going to prove to you that I can forgive sins. How do you prove? How do you make the proof? Because I heal. Healing's the proof. Healing's the proof of the forgiveness of sin. I know God wants me well. He wants me healed. That's the proof of forgiven sin. That's the proof of His love to humanity of what He did on that cross, is His willingness to heal. When somebody says, God wants you sick, if He wants you sick, then He wants you in sin. Then He don't want to forgive you of your sin. He wants you to rot and go to hell. That's what He wants. But that revelation was put here for the purpose, for us to know the goodness of God, is so you and I would know how good He is. That was put there for any of that man that came. We have this illustration that was given specifically in heaven to us to give us the revelation. The power of God is always present, and I'll tell you what, He'll heal you as quick as He'd forgive your sin. Man, we should know that. I mean, anybody, I think that's one of the reasons why many times when people do sin and they ask God to forgive them, they have such a hard time believing God would forgive them. When the church ran healing out of the church and it's not in it anymore, people don't know how good God really is. They sit around and try to play act and do all this stuff, but they don't really know how good He is, so they have a hard time believing that He'll forgive them when they messed up. I'm going to tell you, God will heal heal so quickly, it's phenomenal. Why? Because He'll forgive so quickly, it's phenomenal. This is why people struggle to get healed, because they don't know. And they're taught in the church world, if God's trying to make you sick and He wants you sick for a reason, well, why do you, that means, well, He'd want you to stay in sin for a reason, you know? Well, you messed up and you're in sin, well, stay in it another year or two. My God. He wants you, you're going to learn something there. But see, God's a healer. And these revelations, these things were put in the Scripture specifically for us to look at. The church is supposed to look at these things, and we're supposed to see what God's like. People, you know, I was listening to a minister, and he was talking about, oh, we got to be more like Jesus. And what he means to be more like Jesus is just be this really nice, sweet guy around here. But his whole doctrine's all messed up because he believes God's making you sick and God's making you everything else. Being like Jesus. This is the hardest thing that I've had as a young kid growing up in the church, was they told us to be like Jesus, and if anybody tried to be like Jesus, they'd tell him, oh, there, you know, you don't care. We don't cast out demons. We don't heal people. Those people are the devil. You speak in tongues. That's of the devil. This, all this stuff out here is all the devil. What used to be God in the Bible now is the devil. It's like, dear Lord, what's going on? It's crazy. And I used to sit around thinking, why would they tell me to be like Jesus? Because if you try to be like Jesus, they'll run you right out of the church. They don't like it. Because that, all that's gone. But be like Jesus. Well, if it just comes down to being a nice guy, my words, Moses was a nice guy. We wouldn't have to have Jesus. We could just have Moses. We wouldn't even need Jesus. But see, they threw Jesus out of the church. Jesus has been thrown out of the church. What He did, Jesus said, the works that I do, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He said, he who believes in me. Well, last time I checked, I believe in Him. The works of Jesus. John the Baptist guys came to Him. John wants to know if you're the right guy. Jesus said, well, tell him to see the works I'm doing. The sick are healed, the lame walking, the blind are seeing, the dead are raised. Go tell them. And then today, if you go sit in a church, they'll tell you, you know what the works of God is? Feeding the poor, being a nice guy, don't cuss, swear, don't tell no lies. You just, oh my God, are you like Jesus? It's just so wonderful. Just powerless, doing nothing. And, you know, we pray for people. God, we don't believe God's going to do anything for them, but we'll pray for them, you know, because we're just so sweet. That's the church world today. We're just so sweet. My God, we're supposed to cast out devils. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in our crazy gospel, we're supposed to be casting out devils. Now, no, they live in the church. They run it. The devils have run Jesus out. Don't talk too much about Jesus. Do you know there's churches today that literally they go on things and they don't talk too much because it makes people uncomfortable about Jesus? They tell you not to talk too much about Jesus because people get too uncomfortable. See, is who gets uncomfortable is the people who have demons. They get uncomfortable. Because in Jesus' name, you cast out demons. We don't like to hear too much about that Jesus stuff. You can use the term God all you want. You can use the word taught God. You can use the term God. Don't use the term Jesus. Why? Salvation's only in that name. The devil don't want that name used. And we've been giving that name. And this is why we look here. We look at this. This is the works of Jesus. This is Jesus working in here. And when Jesus ministered to this man, and he told him to get up and walk, the man got up and walked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what we, you know, we want to walk in the light of these things, Father. Folks, we need to see these revelations in the Scripture. You need to come to the place. And what the whole thing is, we're going through all these things and teaching, where you come to the place, without a doubt, you know that God's power is present for you to be healed. You don't have to try to seek God, try to get God to move to do something to heal you. God's already through Christ and what He did on the cross through His death, burial, and resurrection. Just think, understand this. God did all this healing and all this stuff, and Jesus hadn't even died on the cross yet for us. Well, if God would work like that, then what would it be like now? Dear Lord, we're in the covenant on the other side in this new covenant. Hallelujah. If the power of God was present there, how much more present is it now? His willingness to heal and prove to you through healing that He'll forgive you. He'll prove it to you. That's one of the things that God proved to me as a young Christian. I just got born again. Only about a month, and my daughter Elena was born. And when we brought her home to the hospital, and she just got sick. She had a cold, and she was just a little baby, and her little face was all red, and her nose and stuff was stuffing up, and just a little baby, and she's coughing. Man, breaks your heart there. And I remember just getting a hold of that, reading Kenneth Hagin's book, some things concerning healing. I didn't know much about it at all. I didn't, you know, I mean, you're just starting off in faith. You know, I'm just getting this thing, trying to get it running. But, you know, lay hands on the sick and they recover. And I'll just never forget, went down in our center room there, I had a bassinet, and she was in that little bassinet. And I remember walking over there to the bassinet, and I laid my hands on her. And I just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And when I said those words, bang, every symptom left her body. She would just instantly bang. Now, it about scared me. But you know what? That was God proving His love to me, His willingness, His forgiveness and love toward me. He was proving that. See, I've never had the problem of God would forgive me. God has done so many times a healing and miraculous things in our family. When I ask God to forgive me of something, man, I know He'll forgive me. My words. Why? Because healing is the proof that He'll forgive. Healing needs to come back and get into the forefront of the church again. And that's why in the church it don't. That's why people suffer and struggle with it. That's why my parents were so religious, because God was always out doing something to somebody, not helping them. He was out there, you know, lighting and striking people and killing them and taking head because they did something wrong. And they didn't know. They were taught this stuff and they didn't know. Well, it didn't leave to anybody to any security that if you did wrong, God was going to forgive you. You thought He's going to hit you. Oh my God. And I so believed in it as a child, I had nightmare after nightmare in my bed at home. As a child, I'd be afraid to go to bed at night and close my eyes and go to sleep because God's going to get you. They didn't preach this Jesus. They didn't read the words from the book. And they told you they preached the Bible, and they never preached the Bible. They preached little parts of it here and there. But most of the big stuff, you never heard it. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying when I first got born again, he said, anything of minor importance, he said, the church knows a lot about. But anything of major importance, they ain't got a clue. And I want to tell you, healing's of major importance. Look across our nation. Look at all the trouble we just had this week over health insurance. You know why that goes on? Because sickness dominates and rules in America. And the church has preached it that God wants it to. You preach that junk for years and years and years, and you keep preaching that God's the one making everybody sick. God's doing everybody in. It's God, it's God, it's God. What do you end up with? Sickness becomes the God of a nation. And this week, that God rose its ugly head up. Sickness becomes to the forefront. God wants to heal the sick. Jesus said, I don't do anything the Father don't do. I don't say anything the Father don't say. He was nothing but a healer. He was nothing but a deliverer. And he wants you to know. He wants you to know he wants you well. And he'll prove it to you so you know without a shadow of a doubt he forgives you. He wants you to know that. And that revelation was put in there. That revelation. So many people say, oh yeah, it's easy to get your sins forgiven, but it's hard to get healed. Exactly opposite of what Jesus said. Opposite of the Bible teaching. See, people will preach and preach over on the forgiveness of sin. But you don't know God when it comes to healing. He probably wants you dead. He's trying to teach you. Well, I figured after all these years, somebody would have learned something. I found out they've learned nothing. I have learned nothing from sickness and disease other than I don't want it. That's the only thing I've learned. Pain, agony, all that kind of stuff, I don't want it. That's what I figured out about it. I don't need a scientific research on the paper to try to tell me. I just don't like it. I hate it. I don't like to be sick. I hate to feel bad. To me, to feel bad is like, you know, just cuss me. I don't like to go around not feel bad. But get this revelation. God wants the church to have this, and you need to have the revelation. The power of God is always present to heal you. Think about those Pharisees and all that stuff. These guys, Jesus had a lot of bouts with these guys. But just think about, was the power of God not present to heal them? Was God, if it wouldn't have been, then God was unwilling to forgive them. It had to be present. It had to be present. Because he was willing to forgive. You may have messed up and done something really dumb. You may do something big you think's big sin, big something or other. Maybe I don't know what else. But the power of God's present to heal, and it's the power of God's present to forgive. It's there. That's the biggest thing, and if the church deals with it, deals with these things. Because see, if I do something wrong, maybe God don't want to heal me right away. Or maybe he doesn't want to bless me financially. Because see, I've been messing up and I haven't been, you know, listening to the Lord concerning my finances. And, you know, so now he's mad at me. And so now he won't talk to me for a while about it. So you get over there. You can't ask him to forgive you on it because, you know, he'll be mad at you. I'm going to tell you, most Christians, that's what they go through. Over the years as a pastor, I have dealt with that more times than people. There are problems of how they view God. They don't see him. What the Bible says, it's the way religion is taught about him. You know, you've done wrong and that stuff. Yeah, God will forgive you, but there's always a but thrown in there. that but is put there. Yeah. Oh, he's gracious and kind, but. And not, you know what? You messed up, and if you came and you asked him to forgive you, he'll forgive you. It is so simple. It's just so simple. It helped me as a young Christian. I remember in the areas of forgiveness, Kenneth Copeland told a story where he had bought an airplane. He bought it. God didn't wasn't in it with him. He bought it, and it turned out to be a piece of junk, and he was spending more money trying to get this plane working than what the plane was worth. And he went to the Lord about the plane and asked God what God was going to do about the plane. And God said, I ain't going to do nothing about the plane. You bought that thing. So anyhow, he asked God to forgive him about the plane. So anyhow, God did it, turned around, and he asked the Lord about getting rid of this plane and that stuff. He asked the Lord to help him get rid of it. He needed to get a plane he could fly. And he said God helped him, and he said God came and bought the plane for more than it was worth. He said God was amazing with it. But he had an incident happen later on concerning that where he didn't get over that right away. He didn't. You know, God forgave him, but he never really accepted it. And he came along, was talking about the Lord about something, and he said the Lord, well, about you know what I did. The Lord said, what are you talking about? The Lord spoke about it. He said, what are you talking about? He said, Lord, you know what I did. I did such and such. The Lord said, you did? God was leading through the whole thing. See, when we turn around and we ask God to forgive us, he does. And then we drag that thing back because, well, you know, we've never been settled on the forgiveness issue of the goodness of God. And so we think, well, there's still things there holding. God forgot. God intentionally, you know, the most amazing thing You know, I wish I had personally the ability in my natural mind to be able to just turn a thought off like that, like something happened, did it? You know, we've all gone through the things where our mind bugs us about something. God did not remember nor would not talk to him about that airplane as if anything ever happened. It's amazing. And I would thought, to me, that was a big help when I was a young Christian. I heard him talk about that, and I thought, you know, he messed up. He went and did a thing wrong. He asked God to forgive him, and God acted like it never happened then. Acted like it never happened. See, that's the way we're supposed to be in the areas of forgiveness. That's what this revelation is about here, is about the goodness of God. It's about God's willingness to heal, and he forgives, and God forgets. And God wants to prove to you how much he's willing to forgive you. He'll heal you. He'll heal you. Kenneth Hagin told a story of a gentleman who was in hospital in a full body cast with a broken back. This guy had gotten in a car accident, some things happened, but anyhow, he had a Christian man, but turned around and he was married to a wife, but living with another woman. He's going through all this stuff. This guy's way out in left field. This guy asked God to forgive him. And they prayed for him in the hospital, asked God to forgive him, prayed for him in the hospital. He was in a full body cast, rolled himself out of the bed, down on the floor, and they said when he hit the floor, they said what they could see of his body, his face and some of his arms and stuff were out of cast, the rest of the body cast and that stuff in parts of the leg. He said he just turned black like a dead man. He said, you know, just like it looked like he had died. And hey there, and then he said all of a sudden he came awake and he started tearing off this this body cast. He got up completely healed. Now, that man had asked God to forgive him, but God healed that man to prove to him that he forgave him and what he did. See, sometimes we in our Christian walk, we ain't even done 10% of what some people have done, and we struggle with the forgiveness of God. But we struggle with healing. We struggle with all this stuff because we're just, does God really like me? You know, and I say, well, I mess up and I do wrong. And you go through all this stuff and we go and we war and all these things. And the whole time, God just wants us to, hey, let me heal you and forgive you. Let's get this thing over with. Quit playing these games. But see, as long as the church preaches, you know, that, you know, out here, God quit healing, he quit blessing, he quit doing stuff, you know. Sometimes he'll do something nice, but you can't always trust him to do it. Now, it leaves people over there. Well, I messed up last week. Does he really forgive me? I will tell you this. If you're questioning in an area of your life, if you don't know if God's forgiven you or you don't know that you're right about with God, you're going to go over and try to believe God for healing. It's going to be a terrible time you're going to have doing it because your conscience is going to bother you the whole time. You're going to think, well, see, I've messed up over here. Can I really come over here and ask God to do this for me? Can I really ask him to? You know, my kids messed up and did things wrong, but we didn't shoot them and throw them out back. You know? Man, our kid, you did what you could to bless their lives. You do what you can. Now, we're just as human. What about God? See, you can't approach God to any kind of have confidence in him if you don't know that he really likes you. You're his child. Just like with that man. The man was dropped down through the roof. The first thing out of his mouth, your sins are forgiven you. The guy didn't even ask for it. And God said, hey, this isn't just Jesus talking. This is God the Father. Jesus said he didn't say anything the Father didn't say. The first thing out of God's mouth, you're forgiven. Everything's cleared up for faith to work. Come on, let's get it going. Hallelujah. God will forgive you today. He ain't changed. The forgiveness and the healing, it has not changed and it never will change. Why would the power of God be present to heal if forgiveness was an issue? Men need a clear conscience to be able to approach God with a faith that's not tainted. And you can only do that when you know that you're forgiven. You can't approach it any other way. There's no other way to come to it. And this is always, we have done nothing, but the church has preached guilt into coming to God, guilt before God, and then told people to have faith. And that's why they preach, God don't always heal. You know, sometimes he wants you sick. Why? Because the church is full of guilt. You can't get them healed, so God must not want them healed. They're not getting healed. Saying, what are we doing wrong that people are not being healed? James wrote concerning the church, is there any sick among you? Today you would never write in a church, is there any sick among you? You'd say, is there anybody well? Is there anybody who's not sick? It was not the norm. Healing was just known in the church. It was what belonged to the church. He said, if any among you sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over you, anointing with your oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. I don't preach that one. No, well, you know, that was back then. Well, then salvation was back then too and is not for today. It's not back there. It's the norm of the church. The norm of the church. Hallelujah. It's the norm of the church to be well. That's the norm. Start calling yourself normal instead of abnormal. When you see yourself as sick as being the norm, that is abnormal for the church. You got to start seeing yourself in God's eyes. God considers it abnormal. Why? Because he loves the church. He loves his people. His forgiveness, and we need to tell others. It's in the same way at the outside. God loves you. And he'll heal you. He'll prove he'll forgive your sin. He'll heal you of your sickness and diseases. He'll do that. Why? Because he changes not, the Bible said. He don't change. There's not a different Jesus today doing it differently. It's the same thing. But I encourage you as the church, I want you to have the confidence. We can't preach a gospel to people when we're not confident. When we're not sure if God's forgiven us, and we tell, oh, sure, God will forgive you, and the whole time we're feeling guilty. We can't do that. Because I tell you what, you just won't come across confidently, people. And people need to hear it. God will forgive you. So how do you know he'll forgive me? Well, you have any sickness? Let's pray for you. Let's get you healed. God will prove to you. God will prove it. And that's what God does. God's love to reach out to people. He's constantly wanting to prove himself to you. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I wanted to really emphasize that today because I believe the church really needs Christians. There are just so many out here that are battling with that, not just people here in our church. There's loads of Christians who they believe that God heals, but the whole thing of it is, they're not confident in these areas. They're not confident of God forgiving them their sin and that stuff. They don't know how they can approach God. They're trying to believe God. They're struggling to believe God. You know, and it's funny because of all the instances we used of personal healing and we've been teaching for the last number of weeks, we don't find anybody struggling to try to make this thing work, do we? We find nobody struggling to make it work. I didn't have to, and you don't either. One of the things, the greatest things that we need to do is rest in our faith. Rest in your faith. Man, I'm trusting God. Hallelujah. He took my infirmities, the Bible says, and bore my sicknesses. Just like he bore my sins on the cross, he took my sicknesses. He did that too. I believe it in the same way. He took them. If he didn't do that, then he probably didn't take my sins either. But he did, and he took them. Hallelujah. And his willingness to heal you. You're here today. You know, we were down, and a lot of people under attack with flu and stuff. I mean, we were down at Gatlinburg. Lots of people have been under attack. Well, I'll tell you what, God's in the healing business. You know, medical science does what they can. I mean, people have taken all these, flu shots and that stuff and still got the flu. It didn't work out so well. The flu shots didn't do too good. But the whole thing is you and I is walking in faith with God. Walking over there, God's willingness to heal you. You know, whatever you're putting up with or whatever's going on, I want you to know this. No, maybe you feel great today. Tomorrow, the devil might knock on your door. I don't know. But the power of God's present to heal you. Tomorrow, God is present to heal you. And he'll heal you to prove to you how good he is, and he forgives sin. So you just know how good he is. And his response to you, whatever it might be, he wants you to know that. He wants you to be confident of that. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, as today as we're sharing these things, the word, Lord God, you are a good God. And Lord God, it breaks my heart so many times, Lord God, because...